You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. All right, everybody ready? Psalms 103. A couple weeks ago, we started on this and just got through the first few verses talking about some of the benefits of serving God. And that's what this really starts out saying. There are privileges that you and I have and rights that you and I have, benefits, as it were, from serving the Lord. Did you know that it pays to serve God? It really does. You know that old saying, crime does not pay? It doesn't. Crime does not pay, but serving God does. Now, we're not necessarily serving Him for the benefit, as it were, but there's no question God put the carrot on the end of the stick. He is the one that said it, not us. He's the one that said, serve me and I'll bless you. He's the one that said, be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. I mean, He's the one that said, if you keep these commandments, you'll live long and prosper. I mean, God is the one that said that. So regardless of our motive or motivation, regardless of our, whether we're lusting or greedy, you hear a lot about that in church, and thank God we do. I mean, you're not going to hear it in the world. All you're going to hear in the world is get greedier, you know, and go for more, and it's all about the money and all those kinds of things. So there is a balance in church. You hear a lot, but sometimes to the extreme that we shouldn't be asking for this or we shouldn't be asking for that because you're just greedy, you're just thinking of yourself, you're just thinking. But see, the problem with that is if you go too far with that, God is the one that made the promise. He's the one that said, serve me and I'll bless you. He's the one that said, call to me and I'll answer you and I'll give you show you great and mighty things which you know not. He's the one that said, pray one for another that you may be healed. He's the one that said that young lions do lack and suffer. Suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. He is the one that said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. He's the one that said He daily loads us with His benefits. He's the one that said He delights in our prosperity. He's the one that said He supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you cannot deny the Scripture is filled with staggering promises concerning blessing us, providing our needs, healing our bodies, and so on and so forth. Now, we do need to watch our heart, guard our heart, sure, but we should not deny nor reject what God has offered, legitimately so, because He loves us and He's for us, not against us. And that's what we see in all this, is the awesome love of God, the awesome care that He has for us, His people. God really does love us. I don't know why, I don't understand it, but He does. He loves all of us. He loves us in our sin and sees what it's doing to us. That's why He doesn't want us to continue in it. That's why He asks us to repent of it. That's why He tells us to forsake it, because it's killing us. Not that He's trying to say, you know, you guys, I don't want you to have any fun. You know, Mom and Daddy weren't trying to keep you, you know, from having fun when they gave you rules. They were trying to keep you alive.
That's right.
And out of jail. So you grow up to be a responsible citizen and be a benefit to society and have a wonderful family and hello. They're just trying to help you. You had to have rules to really be free. Freedom's not where you have no rules. Freedom is when you have rules. Hallelujah. So, we see here in Psalms 103, let's just read through here without a lot of comment, and I know you know I can do that. Because I already preached on the first few verses here a couple weeks ago. First verse, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Forget not. Don't forget. How many times have we gone through life and forgotten God made provision? Forgotten that God gave us a benefit? Forgotten that God made a promise? Forgotten that God can get us out of this? If we just obey God, we can get through this thing. We forget that. Many times in churches, we forget that. Many times in churches, we don't go over the benefits. Sometimes we just go over the commands, and we should act in a certain manner, and this is an instruction book, no question, but there are benefits to the instructions. There are consequences and rewards, as it were, to the commands. And we don't need to forget the benefit. The commands are for the purpose of reward. That's what they're for. God wants to change our lives so we can get in the flow of how He lives and what He's about. And if we're not obeying the commands, we're going the death route instead of the life route. He's just wanting us to live, that's all. That's why He tells us to love, tells us to forgive, tells us to walk holy, tell the truth, don't lie, be faithful to your wife and your husband. Why? Because that's the road or path of life. Amen. See, the commandments bring life. They give life. But the ultimate goal is not the command. The ultimate goal is not that God wants us to do something and we just need to obey. The ultimate goal is the awesome love of God. He cares about us. And He knows these things lead us in a certain direction as opposed to sin, who leads us in the wrong, which leads us in the wrong direction. Amen? Amen. So there are benefits from serving the Lord. There are privileges to serving God. And we don't need to forget that. We're not left out when we serve God. Oh, we missed the party. We're Christians. We couldn't go. Are you kidding? They missed the party. I live an eternal party in Christ. Amen? So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits. Third verse, who forgives all your iniquities. He starts out with that, and I love that. That's got to be primo, as it were. That's first. Primero, you know. He says, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. I love that one. Doesn't matter what's going on. Don't care if it's the Asian flu, Hong Kong flu, or swine flu. Where do we come up with that one? You know, it's always a foreign flu. There's no USA flu. If it's flu, it's got to be from somewhere else. And the only concession we made to that was swine flu. You know, we said that's okay. Well, anyway, he heals all of our diseases. Who redeems our life from destruction? Hallelujah! Amen. He delivers us and saves us and rescues us. He redeems. This is a benefit. Amen. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? I love that. We talked about that in a little more detail a couple weeks ago. How that's how we rule. That's the crown we wear. We're kings when we have love and we have kindness and mercy. But we don't rule too well when we don't have mercy, kindness, and love. He crowns us. That's our ruling. That's our authority, really, comes from our kindness and our love. He's not just throwing that on us. He actually is causing us to rule and reign and have authority and get control when we have kindness, mercy, and love. Isn't that good? I mean, that's a great thing. You're not ruling when you're not kind. You're not any kind of authority when you're not showing mercy and you're not loving people. In fact, when you start hollering and screaming, you're not taking control. You just lost control.
That's right.
You're not taking authority. You just lost all your authority. You know, it's been said that a fool, when he thinks of being a king, he thinks of conquering the world. Wise man, is when he thinks about being a king, he thinks of conquering himself. And so God has made us king over ourselves. I love that. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but He's made us Lord over our passions, over our emotions through His Word. Through the Word of God, we can Lord over our lives. We can be King over our lives. Now, God ultimately is King. We're submitting to Him, but it's through Him that we become back in authority and back in control again. So we really control through submission. The more we submit to God, the more we're in control. The more we submit to God, the more authority we have. Amen? And we do that through loving kindness and tender mercy. That's the crown we wear. Who satisfies your mouth? Fifth verse. These are things we went over a couple weeks ago, so I'm not belaboring them very much today. Who satisfies your mouth with good things? Everybody say satisfies. I love that. The good things that God gives satisfy. They don't entangle us. They don't entrap us. They don't control us. Some people are under control of the things that they have. They don't possess anything. Those things possess them. But God wants us to be satisfied with the things of life, not to be controlled by the thing. Some people serve the almighty dollar. They're not in control of the dollar. The dollar's in control of them. Or it could be a thing. It could be a boat or whatever, you know. Thank God for boats and thank God for cars. But don't let them control you. You control them. They should satisfy us. We shouldn't be just lusting after them and be run or ruled by them. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Man, I want my youth renewed like the eagles. The older I get, I want my youth renewed like the eagles. Amen. But you can. You can have your youth renewed. You know, as Spock used to say, live long and prosper, you know. Well, the way you do that, serve God. These are benefits of serving the Lord. I mean, I'm in a much better shape now having served God than I would have been if I hadn't served God and been at my age. And hopefully you can say the same thing. Amen? It pays to serve Him. And it goes on and says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Now, this is so good because when the Bible talks, Old Testament especially, Psalms and Proverbs, when they talk about executing righteousness and executing judgment, that was a good thing. Because what happened was if you were poor, you couldn't get a hearing in the courts. And you couldn't get justice in the courts. Hello. But the Lord executes righteousness and justice for the oppressed. The Lord hears us when we cry. We always have a hearing with Him. In today's setting, I mean, when it comes to courts, we're so overwhelmed by money and big companies that we just don't, there's no way we can win in the natural. Many times when it comes to huge companies, goodness gracious, they've got the big guns, they've got the money, and even the government, IRS comes in, boy, and calls an audit. I mean, fear hits you and you think, well, who am I? I'm just a little guy. This is the government coming against me. Are you with me? And we often, we can still see that same principle. We often are left out. Those who have a lot of money beat cases, win cases, overturn justice. In many cases, when they don't have representation, are you with me? Because they don't have money, their voice is not heard, they lose cases, and justice is not served. That's not in every case. I'm just giving that as an example. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody does. Okay, that's all right. That's okay. Get the CD. Let's do it over. So what he's saying here is that God executes righteousness and justice for the oppressed. This is a benefit. I will be vindicated. Because I belong to God. Even when they're all lying about me, it doesn't matter. I'm holding on to the truth. I'm holding on to God. He's going to vindicate me. So you have to believe that. Even in court cases, believe for favor. Believe for the blessing of God. This is a promise that God will stand by you. And righteousness will prevail, and truth will be revealed. Ooh, hallelujah. He delivered me from my strong enemy, for they were too strong for me. That's what David said. Is that Psalms 18:17? He delivered me from my strong enemy, for they were too strong for me. Been there, done that, got that t-shirt. But God delivered me, hallelujah. Because that's a benefit of serving God. I am not alone here. Nobody knows me. Yes, they do. God knows you, and He's for you. Cheer up. These are some of the benefits, amen, of serving God. You hadn't been alone a day in your life since you got saved.
That's right.
You've had a mighty Redeemer. You've had a mighty Deliverer. You've had a mighty King. You've had the Creator and the Maker of all that is on your side and on your inside. Greater is He that's in you than He's in the world. Ever since you accepted Jesus. This is one of the benefits, amen. We always have someone to run to.
Amen.
Seventh verse. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. Boy, that's a big difference there. You can know what God's doing, not know how He's doing it, and be completely left out. Thank God under the new covenant, Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior, and we being the children of God, we're becoming very much aware of how He does things, not just what He does. And of course, we understand that He does what He does by faith. Amen. The children of Israel didn't quite get it. They saw what was happening. They were eating manna by day. Every day. They followed the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. They drank water from a rock. They were experiencing the acts of what God did, but they really didn't know the way He was doing it. Moses, on the other hand, knew how God was doing it. He was doing it as he believed Him, as he trusted Him, as he stepped out on His word. He understood His ways, but the children of Israel, they just saw the acts. We can come to church and be in that same situation where we just see God moving. We experience it in the sense that the anointing's here and the power of God's here. We see people getting saved or healed or set free. And we're aware of His acts, but not really aware of His ways. God wants us to know His ways. He wants us to know how He does things. Not just what He does, but how He does them. You'll find if you go in the Scripture, He does what He does by faith. He does what He does as you believe Him, as you trust Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In fact, there's a whole chapter on this in Hebrews, the third chapter, where he talks about the children of Israel perishing in the wilderness, and they could not enter into the land of Canaan because of their unbelief. It says, they erred in their heart, for they have not known my ways. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? So you may be in a situation where you know that God heals, but you don't know how He heals. Well, God doesn't want us in that situation. He wants us in a situation where we not only know He heals, but we know how He heals. He heals as we believe and trust Him. He heals as we call upon Him. It is His will to do so. He's not holding it back. Hallelujah. Because God executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Can you say hallelujah, somebody? Now you think about that. I don't know what you've done in your life. It probably isn't pretty. Not everything. Hopefully you lived a pretty fair life. I've done a lot of things in my life I'm just absolutely ashamed of. I mean, before I got saved, goodness gracious. I've done some things after I got saved that I'm ashamed of. But I did a whole lot of things before I got saved that I'm ashamed of, that I don't even talk about. You know, you hear some people that seem to gloat in how bad they were and how sinful they were before they got saved. I've heard people give testimonies, and I mean, you know, they'll speak for 1 hour on their testimony, and 55 minutes is talking about how they're lost, and the last 5 minutes they got saved, hallelujah, and close out. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, my life's more about after I got saved than it is before I got saved. I mean, I just say things in passing, but not detail. Well, I would go over the details. It's a shameful thing the way I lived, or the way you lived before you got saved. The good news is that he abundantly pardoned me of my sin. The good news is that he is so merciful that he wiped all that out. The good news is that he cared for me in the midst of all that. That's the good news. That's the thing we talk about. That's what we don't need to forget. It's not about remembering all the bad things we did. It's about remembering the mercy he bestowed upon us. I remember when I got saved. I remember when he wiped my sin away. I remember when he saved me. Hallelujah. Washed me in his blood. That I will not ever forget. Amen. Changed me. Made me a new creature. Made me a new man. Amen. The Lord is merciful. That's what my life is. A testimony to the mercy of God. And how gracious he was to me. When everybody else wrote me off, God didn't. Hello. Kicked out of high school. You know, put in jail. I mean, no, everybody else wrote me off, but God didn't. Because he knew that I just needed to be saved. That's all. I just needed to be saved. I just needed to repent and get right with him. The reason I was living the way I was living, because I didn't know Jesus. Hallelujah. So he was merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He didn't like what I was doing, and God does get angry at our sins. But he is very slow to anger. What he is abounding in is not anger. He's abounding in mercy. See, we get the picture of God as being just a judge. He's more than just a judge. He's a father to his children. And his arms are extended to those that are lost. And if anything God abounds in, it's not anger. It's not wrath. It's not judgment. He's holding that off. In fact, we talked a little bit about that this morning in the adult class, about, you know, the coming tribulation that's coming. But God's holding all that off because he's long-suffering. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not living in that in judgment right now. We're living in grace, hallelujah. Right. Thank God he abounds in grace. And even when the judgment comes, it'll be for a short time. Right. Because he abounds in mercy, not judgment. Thank God. Yeah. That's why you don't ever write anybody off. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just go through a list here of how much we'll put up with before we write somebody off, you know, there is no list like that with God. As long as there's breath, there's hope. As long as they're alive on this earth, there's a chance. There's a hope. We hold on. We pray. How quick we give up on each other. Don't do it. How quick we give up on ourselves. You ever done that? You know, I love that one. That always made a lot of sense to me. I can forgive everybody else, can't forgive myself. I can believe they did it, but I just can't believe I did it. Yeah. I could believe they'd be that, looking for kids out here, that dumb, but I can't believe I'd be that dumb. Are you with me? Yeah. Kind of boils down to, you still think you're better than everybody else.
That's true.
Yeah, you still think you're better than everybody else. That's pride. That's all it is. Yeah. You're saying you're better than everybody else. They're dumb enough to do it, but not you. Now, God can forgive them because they're so dumb. Boy, that'll stop you from receiving forgiveness. It's called pride. Are you with me?
Amen.
You know, let's just get it straight. Now, maybe you don't use those terms. You can use another term if you come up with one that fits. That's fine. You are that dumb, okay? I mean, we can probably come up with another word, but I'm just trying to think. I am that dumb, okay?
Yeah.
And the good news is that God is that merciful. I can believe I'd do that. I really can. Because, you know, I'm nothing without Him.
Amen.
And anybody can fall.
Yes.
And anybody can sin.
Yes.
You included, me included.
Right.
If I get away from God, I can sin.
Uh-huh.
If I go my own way and go with that passion that of sin, that anger or whatever, I can do that. I can mess up. I can't. I need Jesus.
Yes.
I need Him.
Yes.
Are you with me? But thank God He's there. That's the good news. And He's merciful. Hallelujah. Just cut the excuses, repent of your sin, and let Him forgive you. Don't have a double standard here. Don't have one standard for you and another standard for everybody else. Everybody else can be forgiven, but you can't. Put yourself on the same standard. In fact, let's go a step further. God will forgive you, but you can't. You got a higher standard than God? Getting quiet in here. Y'all listening to me. God forgives all sin. How come we can't forgive it? Now, there's shame, and that's okay. I understand shame. You should be ashamed of what you did, but you ought to get over what you did.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Receive the forgiveness and go on.
Amen.
All right. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, what a message. I know y'all are excited. Y'all calm down now. Let me finish this message. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. For He has not dealt with us according to our sins or iniquities, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Well, I'm just paying a price the way I live. Well, listen, if you'll repent, God will not hold you accountable for your sin. If you will confess your sin and forsake it now and receive His forgiveness, God will not deal with you according to your iniquities. Well, the mess I'm in right now is because of the life I live. I understand there's repercussions. I understand there's consequences to our sin. But if you repent, God can turn that around. Aren't you glad He does not deal with us according to our iniquities? Aren't you glad? You know, He does not punish us according to our sins. If we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, it wipes that out. Woo! Now, maybe other people have to, you know, have problems with it, and I understand that. But other people need to get right with God too.
Yeah.
And that's all that's wrong with them. So don't get upset and mad because they're not forgiving. Pray for them. If they see it the way you've seen it in your own life, they can let it go too.
Mm. Yeah,
amen. Man, this is good stuff. In fact, I mean, this is the heart of God. See, this is the thing. This is the benefit. This is the best benefit, the greatest benefit. He actually starts out with it. He forgives all our iniquities. Then He comes back and really goes in detail as He ends this up about the greatest benefit of serving God is forgiveness and mercy. And God not dealing with us that way. Thank God. You know, if God dealt with me according to my sin, I'd never be pastoring a church, I can tell you that. If He dealt with me according to my sin, I would have never done missionary work and gone around the world to tell people about Jesus. He'd have told me, son, you're just not worthy. You ought to just be happy to be saved. There's lots of times I am. I'm just happy to be saved. And everything else is icing on the cake. But the cake is being saved. No doubt about it. The rest is the frosting, the icing, the candles, all that stuff. That's Him letting us do all the other stuff.
Right.
Being a witness and being a, you know, like in my case, being a pastor and doing missionary work, those kind of talking to people about Jesus. Man, that is just awesome stuff.
Amen.
But it's not a matter of me being worthy. It's not a matter of me being good enough. He's the one that wiped my sins away. He's the one that saved me. It's His mercy and His grace that caused me to be able to do that. He has not dealt with me according to my iniquities. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. In fact, hold your place here and turn to Micah. That's a good one. Nahum, Micah, Habakkuk. Or Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Turn to Micah, the 7th chapter. You're going to love this. Y'all glad you came today?
Amen.
You know, this is really what it comes down to. There's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of things that God does. But it all starts with our sin. It all starts with being redeemed. It all starts with us being saved. It all starts with us. God does not deal with us and bring it up over and over and over and hold it in our face, the things that we did before we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And even after we get saved, if we sin, if we repent of our sin and forsake our sin, He doesn't keep slapping us in the face, See there, you deserve this. This is exactly what you get. No, thank God He doesn't do that.
Amen.
Now, we're hard on ourselves, and we ought to get over it. You ought to get over yourself.
Yeah.
We got over you a long time ago. Oh, yeah. You know, you think of, well, what's everybody thinking? What's everybody thinking about me? You know, I read the other day, and I thought this was really good. It was actually John Maxwell said this. He said, you know, when I was growing up, my whole life, I was concerned about what everybody thought about me. He says, now I'm 60-something, and he said, and I realized the world wasn't paying a bit of attention. Hello. And Chico Holliday said it this way. He was a nightclub singer that got saved and started putting out Christian music. And he said, I used to be so concerned when I walk in the crowd what everybody was thinking about me. I'd look around and think, oh, what are they thinking about me? Ooh, what are they thinking about me? Oh, my goodness. And I'd live my life just thinking that way. And he said, one day the Lord spoke to me. He says, Chico, they're not even thinking about you. If they're thinking anything, they're thinking about what you're thinking about them. So we're kind of at a standoff here. I'm thinking about what you're thinking about me. You're thinking about what I'm thinking about you. Just drop it and live your life. Be yourself. Everybody else is already taken anyway.
Amen.
Just be yourself.
That's right.
Okay, Micah, y'all found it?
Amen.
Micah 7, verse 18, notice this. Boy, this is good stuff. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity? Oh, wow. Who is a God like our God? Not a mean God, not a ogre of a God, not a God with a big stick, or a policeman in the sky that's passing out tickets every time somebody violates the law. All He does is just run around with a siren on, you know, pulling people over. No, who is a God like our God? You realize there's no God like our God? There is no other God. But what kind of God is this? Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in mercy. God loves to give me a hard time. No, He doesn't. He delights in mercy. God loves to be hard on me. No, He does not. He delights in mercy. What He enjoys is mercy, forgiving. It pleases God to forgive us. Why don't you receive it? Amen? It pleases Him. He will again, 19 verse, He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. I love that. Conquer our sins. Praise God. Through His mercy and His compassion and His grace, He doesn't just forgive us. He conquers our sin. And I'm able to rise above it through His mercy. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. In other words, what He's saying, it's going to be covered and gone and obliterated and you'll see them no more. You will give truth to Jacob, mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. God's merciful. In fact, back to Psalms 103. Ninth verse, of course, He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. That's God. And that's one of the privileges, the greatest privilege of serving God. In fact, it's interesting, you know, in Luke 10, 17, where the disciples, the 70, came back to Jesus, and it says they rejoiced that even the devils were subject to them through His name. And He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. But rejoice not that the devils are subject to you through My name, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The greatest point of rejoicing for you and I is our sins are forgiven. The greatest benefit of serving God is that He doesn't deal with me according to my sin. We all mess up. Are you with me? And we all sin and have to repent. But God doesn't deal with us according to our sin. Man, that's better than y'all are amen, and I'm telling you. Thank God he doesn't deal with me according to my sin. Because of his great mercy. Who is a God like our God? There's no one like our God. I don't know what people say about Christianity, but as a Christian, I know that God is a good God. And I know that God is a merciful God. And God is abundantly pardons and abundantly cares and loves us and for us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's not mad at the world. He doesn't hate people. He hates sin and what it does. And if you repent of your sin, the world, the whole world, whether they be homosexual, whether they be adulterers, listen to it, whether they lie or whether they gossip, God still loves them. There is no sin that he won't forgive if they will repent. Yeah, you call it what it is. You've got to admit that you have sin. You've got to admit that it is sin, but if you confess it and repent of it, God doesn't hold it over your head.
Right.
Don't hold it over your own head. Amen?
Amen.
And don't hold everybody else's head either. Amen. Boy, it's nothing to tear a marriage up worse than that right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then one of the parties sins, and then they decide to forgive, and then they won't leave it alone. The one that was sinned against keeps bringing up the sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to forgive, get over it. And let it go. I got two amens out of that. And if you're not going to forgive, you got no business being married. Because marriage don't work no other way, all right? Okay. We're always forgiving each other and praying for each other about that.
Amen.
Y'all not jumping and shouting very much in this message. I'm waiting for a reaction. You know, I'm just trying to hit that anointing somewhere. Everybody's going, woohoo! Has that got there yet? Okay, anyway. Good stuff. Everybody's thinking, amen. You're meditating on this. It's good. No, I want to encourage you with this. I want to help you with this. God loves you. He's for you. You quit beating yourself on the head. You know, we live our lives with the devil, even when we get saved and start serving God and doing right. The devil loves to hammer at us and keep us beat down, and we're no good, and we're worthless, and, you know, I don't deserve this, and I don't deserve that. Oh, come on, man. Since you got saved, that all went out the window.
Right.
It's not a matter anymore of what you deserve or don't deserve. You deserve heaven now. Do you know that? Because you accepted Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, Mike and I were talking about this. Mike Harrison. Where's Mike Harrison? There he is. Okay, hiding over. Mike and I talked about this last night. We're on another subject. We were talking, but we talked about how, you know, we deserve hell. Well, we did before we got saved, but we don't deserve hell now.
That's right.
We did deserve hell. We deserved all that, the wrath of God and all that. We deserved all that. But when we accepted Jesus, we accepted the pardon.
Amen.
Well, you know, I don't deserve any of this. Oh, no, that's before you were saved. Now you're saved, you do deserve everything God offers. Get it? You deserve every bit of it because you're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a child of the living God. You have a covenant now. You do deserve to be blessed. You do deserve to be healed. You do deserve heaven because you have been forgiven. You're washed in the blood. You're not who you used to be. You get it? I mean, that's what we've got to get a hold of. Well, I just don't deserve it. I'm just not that. I wish I was like that person or this. Well, maybe the preacher. Oh, come on, man. I got to repent just like everybody else has to repent. I have to forgive. I'm married. Just an example. Woohoo. Hey, would y'all pray for me right now? Okay. I just got that look. I'm going to need some help this afternoon. No, I need forgiveness. Sure, all that's true. Okay, I'm trying to get out of this hole. Y'all help me now. You're not, okay. Hey, we deserve heaven. Amen? We deserve life. We deserve healing.
Amen.
I'm just not worthy. No, that was before you got saved. Come on, man. You're saved now. You're saved now. You've been made worthy now through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God abundantly pardons.
Yeah.
Our God, our sin, what do you mean your sin? As far as the east is from the west, He removed that from us. Not north and south. There is a north and south pole. There is no east-west pole. East never meets west. North does meet south. But He cast, removed our iniquity as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. And He pities us. He loves us. He cares for us as a father does his children. 14th verse. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. This is just a short life down here. It's a quick trip, really. It's a blip on the chart. It really is. This is not going to last long. We ought to be living in light of the next step. You know, I often think about taking... I travel a lot, and if I got a trip I'm going to make, I'll pack. I'll pack what I think I'm going to need. I think about what I'm going to need. I make sure I have it, and so on. Well, we're going on a journey. We ought to be packing. In Texas, of course, that means something else, packing, but that's... got to change that. But we ought to be... Forget, I'm in Texas, you know, we're packing, that's something else. But anyway, we ought to get ready for the trip. We ought to be thinking about where we're going. This life's a fleeting moment. It just passes away. It's like a flower that comes and goes season by season. Things change. Hey, we're changing. We're going somewhere better.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to be living in light of that. Praise God. Our sins are forgiven. Praise God. We've been pardoned. He's abundantly had mercy and been gracious to us, and we're going to live forever. He knows this life's short.
Amen.
We ought to have that same attitude. Amen.
Amen.
For man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and his place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Notice he keeps repeating this. I mean, he's talking about benefits, and he lists several, but man, he gets back to mercy and forgiveness, and he just settles down on it. This is the greatest benefit in the kingdom, is the mercy of God. God is merciful to our sin. We did not justly deserve mercy. Mercy is not deserved. Mercy is just given. He gave it to us. Now we got it. Now we're worthy. Hallelujah. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. Everybody say, on those who fear Him. Everybody doesn't receive it. Some people it bounces off of. Some people won't receive it, won't accept it. But if you fear God and you trust God and you have a reverential fear for God and awe and respect for God, you will receive this mercy. This is good stuff. Amen. On those that fear Him and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all.
Amen.
Man, I love that. I love that. You know, the devil's not ruling, God rules. He rules when we allow Him to, as we fear Him, as we accept Him. In other words, we accept God's rule, His kingdom rules over all.
Amen.
If we receive His mercy will overrule our sin. If we receive His forgiveness and His pardon, it will overrule our iniquity and our transgression. If we receive His healing, it will overrule our sickness and disease.
Amen.
If we receive His peace, it will overrule the turmoil, are you with me, and the depression of our times. His kingdom rules over all.
Amen.
These are the benefits of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. I belong to God. I'm part of the kingdom of God. His kingdom rules over all. Whatever comes against me has got to submit to the kingdom and the rule of God. When I pray and I believe, because I'm abundantly pardoned, because I have had mercy bestowed upon me, He's been gracious to me, He has not dealt with me according to my iniquities, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed my transgressions from me, as high as the heaven is the earth, so great is His mercy toward me, because I fear Him. When I pray, praise God, whatever comes against me has to bow its knee, because His kingdom rules over all. Get it?
Yes.
And I'm in His kingdom.
Yes.
And I've been forgiven.
Glory.
I've been washed, cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay. Boy, that's good stuff. These are the benefits of serving God. Forget not all of His benefits. Forget not. It pays to serve God. We're not the world. We're in it. We're not of it. We're not like everybody else. We got saved. We're Christians. We can pray. We can believe God. We can turn things around. We can change some things. I'm in position now to do that because I've been forgiven. The Lord has established His throne in heaven and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, hearkening or heeding the voice of His word. I love that verse. I'd like to spend a lot of time on that. Did you know that when you speak the word, angels just start moving? You don't send them. You don't have to command them. You just speak the word. You just say what God says. When you say what God says, angels do His bidding. When you trust God and believe God, God dispatches them in the sense that they do. They're hearkening to the voice of His word. And you are the voice.
Amen.
This is God's word, but you are His voice. Not many people around here hearing God speaking because we're His voice and we're not speaking it. But if we'll speak His word, then they're voicing His word and angels hearken to the voice of God's word. If I say in the name of Jesus, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, I just voice His words. Angels just start moving. Man, they start moving around. They start lining things up. I don't send them. I don't talk to them. I don't command them. I just speak the word. And they hearken to the voice of His word. They're waiting around for me to say something. Some of our angels are pretty lazy, getting fat. Need some exercise. Bless ye the Lord, ye His angels, which excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of His word. That's good. Amen.
Amen.
Who do His word, who obey His word. Bless the Lord, all ye His host. 21st verse. You ministers of His, who do His pleasure. I like that. Man, we're out here doing His pleasure. His pleasure is to forgive. His pleasure is to heal. His pleasure, you know, is to give strength and long life and satisfy and renew strength and execute righteousness and justice and be merciful and abundantly pardon. That's His pleasure. And we're out here doing His pleasure.
Amen.
Amen. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Wow. That's the way he started. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yeah.
And he ended up with, bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, after all that, man, how could you not bless him?
Yeah.
How could you not say, oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. He's been good to me.
Yeah.
You know, he has. He's been good to us. He's forgiven us. I never want to forget how he saved me and how he set me free and forgave my sin. And then turn around and use me and ask me to do some. You know how awesome it is for God to ask you to do something for Him? I think it just amazes me that He would even allow me to be a part of what He's doing. You know, we get hung up sometimes because we'll ask. God tells us to ask Him, doesn't He? We're always asking. He says, ask you shall receive, seek you shall find. But you know, one of the reasons I believe He does it is because He doesn't have a problem asking us. He really does. And that's good. I mean, He doesn't have a problem saying, you know, when you don't want to forgive somebody, He doesn't have a problem, and maybe we're not hearing it quite this way, but it really is this way. Okay, you don't want to do it for them, but would you do it for me? Would you do it because I ask you to do it? Most of my forgiveness is that way. I don't forgive most people because I want to. Don't look at me that way. Come on. You're in this thing too. You know this is true. I forgive most people because God asked me to. And then as I do that, I start sensing. I feel it then, but I don't feel it first. I do it because He told me to do that. He asked me to do that, actually. He asked me to do that. He asked me to love people. He asked me to do all kinds of things. Sometimes He'll ask me to do other things, you know, little impressions or whatever. He asked me to pastor. Didn't want to do that. He asked me to teach. You know, I didn't want to do that either. I remember when He called me to. I didn't want to do that. But it came down to really, He asked me to do that. How could I say no? That God would ask me to do that. And then He asked me to pastor. And how could I say no? God may be asking you to do things. You know, remember this, God's merciful. He abundantly pardons. He's done so much for you. What is some little thing he's asking us to do amount to all the benefits that we have from him. My goodness, there's no comparison to that. Maybe ask you to call somebody. Maybe ask you to love somebody. Maybe ask you to encourage somebody. Maybe ask you to help somebody. You know what? That's nothing compared to what he did for you. That's nothing. To live holy, that's nothing. To live 100 years down here for God and give my life to God's nothing compared to the forgiveness I've received and the eternity I'm going to spend with him. It'd be worth it all. Amen?
Amen.